A reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
You've got the Bibles out this morning, so if you'd like to follow this in the Bible that's on the chair next to you, it's on page 1089. I'll just wait a moment so people can find it, but it'll be John chapter 20. Verses 1 to 18, page 1089. So John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, the cloth that was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let's just pray for Tim as he comes to speak. Father, we ask for your guidance, your leading, your blessing, your spirit on Tim. May he speak your words today, and may we hear you and your true voice, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you, Leon, and to Helen for the lovely readings. I read this story, or listened to this story, at the beginning of the week, and it's Mary, a version of Mary Magdalene's story of eyewitness to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And as I was listening to it, I had tears streaming down my face, which is unusual for me, obviously. And I listened to it three times that day, and it produced the same effect. And if I get this right, I hope it does the same for you. This is a creative, there's a bit of creative writing here, but it is based on the readings. This is Mary speaking of her feelings. And I've always imagined myself in that place where the disciples were for the crucifixion and for the resurrection. And as Peter was saying earlier on with his sharing, we seem to forget the void of Saturday. What were they, was it like for the disciples at that time? It must have been devastating because there was no sign of anything happening. And I'm just going to read this story to you, so I'll try and make it as vibrant as possible. It was like time froze ice cold and unforgiving as we watched from a distance while the guards taunted Jesus. They mocked him like he was an evil criminal. He didn't fight back, nor did he try to run each time they cracked the whip. Instead, he just stood there with his hands chained together and his blood falling to the ground with each brutal lash that split open his skin and a crown of thorns piercing the top of his head. Then once the guards had their fun torturing him, they took a hammer and a set of rust-encrusted nails and nailed him to the wooden cross that they had made him carry all the way to Calvary. With each thunderous bang of the hammer and every pain-stricken cry that left him, the nails punctured his hands and feet. I felt my heart tear open in grief. I watched my Lord, my Saviour, my teacher, and my friend die right before my eyes. Watching him on the cross felt like drowning in slow motion. There was no way to help him as he suffered, and no way to stop them as they beat him. I felt the world come crashing down around me as grief swallowed me whole, taking my breath away and leaving me feeling empty, broken, angry, and confused. Why did Jesus let them do this to him? Why didn't he stop them? We watched him perform much greater miracles than before. Why didn't he do something? After what felt like forever, watching Jesus fight for every breath as the pressure on his body became too much to bear, we saw him take his last breath. At that exact time, it seemed like God reached down from the heavens and shook the earth. A massive earthquake tore through the ground and the sky turned black. The guards, who were just a few moments ago laughing and joking, stood stunned and terrified, quivering whilst realizing Jesus truly was who he said he was, the Son of the living God. I looked up at the cross and saw our beloved Jesus' lifeless body nailed to its beams. I'll never forget that image, nor that moment, a moment where death seemed to have defeated the one who so often spoken of life. Little did I know what the next few days would hold, or how they would change everything and everyone for good. How they would change me and mend me and show me a side of love that I'd never known before. Late in the afternoon, when Jesus had been dead for a few hours, a man named Joseph, a disciple of Jesus from Arimathea, asked Pilate for Jesus' body. Joseph wanted to give Jesus a proper burial, and so he cleaned and treated his body and wrapped it in the new linen. Joseph had also organized a new tomb to be cut in the rock. There he placed Jesus' body before closing the tomb with a huge stone. Joseph left after Jesus had been laid in the tomb, but I stayed there, staring at the stone, trying to comprehend everything that had just happened. Yet all I could think about was about how much I missed Jesus, and how would we ever get over this? As the evening approached, a troop of guards and Pharisees came to the tomb. They secured the rock so it could not be moved. Then they stood around the entrance to stop anyone from getting in. Little did we know, it wouldn't be someone getting in the tomb over the coming days, but someone getting out. A few days later, after the Sabbath, I went with the other Mary to the tomb. The guards were still guarding its entrance, just as they'd been ordered to. Then suddenly, as Mary and I sat there praying, there was a loud booming rumble. The ground beneath us shook and shuddered. Fear flickered across all our faces. Next, the sky split open and an angel descended to us from the heights of the heavens. He was cloaked in bright, luminous light, and his garments were the purest white I had ever seen. As he came down from above us, he moved the stone which concealed the tomb as if it was as light as feather. He sat upon it and smiled. The guards were paralyzed with terror. They couldn't move or speak. Instead, they stood frozen, their faces as pale as linen. We could not believe our eyes as the angel began to speak to us. I'll never forget his words. Do not be afraid, for there is nothing to fear. I know you are looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. But he is not here. He has risen, just as he said he would. Then he led us into the tomb. There was nothing but old cloth scattered where they had laid Jesus' body. Looking around the tomb was surreal. I had watched Jesus die with my own eyes just 3 days earlier, and if he had really risen, surely he would have come to us. With all these thoughts racing through my mind, the angel told us to go and tell the other disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. Still unsure of what was going on, we ran as fast as we could to the others to tell them of everything we had seen and heard from the angel. As we were running, a man came before us and stopped us in our tracks. At first, I didn't recognize him. I was overwhelmed with so many emotions, grief, confusion, doubt, curiosity, maybe even the smallest bit of hope that Jesus really had risen. He asked me why I was crying. Truthfully, I didn't know where to begin. So much had happened over the 3 days. How could I possibly tell him about it all? For a moment, I forgot about what the angel had said and thought he might have been the one who had taken Jesus' body. So I asked him if he was the one who had moved Jesus' body from the tomb. His response changed everything. "Mary," he said, And instantly his voice made sense. It was like the mixed up puzzle of my heart had suddenly been put back together. All of my grief, fear and heartache were swallowed by the warmth of his voice. I felt love wash over me, kissing the hurt inside my heart, then leaving its peace to meet my pain. This man was Jesus, the one that I had been searching for and the one who had been right there all along. When he met with me, I was blinded by grief and all the baggage it brought with it. But when he spoke my name, his voice reached my soul. He didn't laugh at me, nor turn away from me because of my tears. He welcomed me into the comfort of his arms. Seeing him didn't change that he had died, but it did change how I felt about death. Because of Jesus, I understand that death is not the end. It cannot keep us hostage to its sting, and it does not mean defeat. Instead, through Jesus and his triumph over the grave, I now know that even in the face of death, there is still life. Grace met my grief. I found my hope afresh, my peace restored, and my joy renewed. And as we go through this encounter, in Jesus' encounter with Mary, Mary experienced comfort and had her eyes gently opened to the promise of life after the sting of death. There is still grace after grief. This Easter, let us remember that we too can declare, I have seen the Lord, even in our hardest seasons. In the midst of deep grief, the risen Jesus brought Mary true comfort and heavenly peace. He met her in her pain and pulled her towards him. Even in her heartbreak, he embraced her and opened her eyes and her heart to a new outlook on death through his resurrection. Jesus is the truth, the way, the life. He is everything. He means everything. That's why I am standing before you now. He saved me in such a way that he gave me that story to read to you and just embrace each and every one of you. Doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. He doesn't care. He is with us. He is holding our hearts. He's holding our souls. And he will take us through. And the glory of his rising from the defeat of death is just amazing. We cannot describe it. As I was walking the cross through the village on Friday, it was just amazing. The workers stopped as we passed. The A120 stopped as we crossed. There's respect. We've just got to get there. We've just got to tell our story. Tell the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour. He is the one. He's my only one. He saved me from, just like he saved Mary Magdalene and every single person in this room, he has saved us somehow. So let us pray. Sovereign Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your saving. We thank you for our salvation in your defeat of the death. You took away the sting of death and gave us the eternal life. You gave us a pass ticket to actually enter God's room as a person. Now we can go to God face to face through you. And only through you can we live our lives. Give us all the strength to go out into the world and convey your stories, our testimonies to everyone, so we can become your disciples. In your glorious name, amen.